Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Yes, welcome to Every Nation Brisbane. My name is Nelly, for those of you who are visiting or those of you who don't know who I am. I'm the pastor here, and we're going through our series at the top of this year called Get in Shape, based on the greatest commandment that God gave us through his son Jesus as well in the New Testament, but definitely in the Old Testament as well. The greatest commandment that we find in Scripture is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. Now, obviously, I'm going to be tackling mind. Don't you think Norman did a great job last week tackling the loving God with all our strength? Awesome, bro. I don't know how I'm going to follow that, or even that shirt you're wearing. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Only you can pull it off, bro. Anyway, so getting in shape. I'm going to be talking about loving God with your mind. So if you have your Bible, go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. If you don't have your Bible, I'll have it up on the screen. We're just going to focus on the first three verses, and then I'll take you through the rest of the message. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. How many of you have experienced God's mercy? Awesome. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Everybody say renewal of your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Oh, that's my title, by the way. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Lord, we pray that you would anoint the hearing of your word. We know that your word is already anointed. We pray you would anoint our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive from your word. We pray for Rhema revelation. We pray that your light will illuminate the scriptures for us. Help the words of scripture to jump out of the page into our hearts and into our lives, into our minds today, as we choose today to love you with our renewed minds. In Jesus' name. Everyone say amen. Okay, the title of my message today is called The Brainwash. The brainwash. Everyone say the brainwash. God calls us to renew our minds. It's interesting. I have at the beginning of last year, about 10 months ago, before God even gave me and Tina the word to move to Australia, I had the fortunate honor to be in the Philippines, in Manila. And a good friend of mine runs an organization called IRIS in the Philippines. IRIS is an organization that started in Mozambique, and it was founded by a woman named Heidi Baker. This is Heidi Baker and myself in the Philippines, and we went to an area in Manila called Tondo. If I know the Filipinos here know of Tondo and may have heard me tell this story before, but I wanted to just highlight the life of Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker, I grew up in an affluent family, graduated from, you know, some of the top schools on the planet. Her doctorate comes from King's College in the UK, but she's an American. But her life basically was transformed because of her heart of compassion. Her and her husband, Roland, moved their lifestyle, moved their whole life according to the calling of God to the land of Mozambique, which is in the southern part of Africa, close to where Bianca comes from, not too far, but a lot less rich. And in Mozambique, in the area where Heidi Baker ministers, a lot of what's happened in the orphanages and the organization that she runs is actually experiencing a lot of miracles. The reason why it's called IRIS is because blind kids, and she takes in AIDS victims and their children. She takes them in and just has a Christ-like heart of compassion. And so she's out there, and God has called her and her ministry to bring the healing of Christ to a lot of these people in the deepest parts of African poverty. And some of them are seeing for the first time and hearing for the first time. Where we're seeing a lot of them, you know, their eyes come open. And so this has become quite renowned and quite the norm, to the point where a lot of government officials are actually seeing these miracles and getting right with God. And the whole nation has been transformed somewhat because of the ministry of this woman and other like-minded Christians who have sown their lives. And so I had the privilege of working with her organization in the Philippines and leading worship in the Philippines in one of the poorest, if not the poorest, area of all of Manila. And it was just like you realize that when you go to places like that, you go to minister, but often at times you're the one that gets so convicted because you come in with this attitude like, I'll show you my little skills that I have, or here, I'll give you a little something because I'm on my missions trip. Yeah, what's 2 days going to do anyway? And I'll do my little thing amongst the people that don't have. And yet God uses that as an opportunity to wreck your heart because they have something that you don't have. It's called contentment, fulfillment. You're still looking for it, and you think that this little missions trip to help people that are less fortunate than you are is gonna help you. No, actually, you're the one that gets wrecked. You're the one that has your life turned around. And so, again, I was in that situation, and just to see these people, and you got to understand, in that part of Manila, not many of them speak English. Most of them speak Tagalog. And so I don't speak Tagalog. My Tagalog is very from TV, from watching telenovelas with Tina's brothers and sisters. But I don't know how to lead worship or sing in Tagalog. But God's spirit fell in that place where we were leading worship, to the point where they didn't understand a lot of them English, but they were able to catch on to the songs. And it had nothing to do with me, because I had a toy keyboard and big Samoan fingers that can't fit on the keys, and a microphone that you had to decide whether it was going to go to me or to the keyboard. And I chose to put on the keyboard because I got a Samoan mouse so I can project in there. And just, I was just like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing, because I don't think they know the songs that I'm trying to sing, but we'll just go with it. And 2 hours later, we're still worshiping God and still singing, and people are still weeping in the presence of God, and she comes and she ministers. And it's just to see, and again, I'm not trying to highlight like a Christian celebrity of some sort, but the heart of how somebody's mind is renewed and then God transforms their path to head in a certain direction from where you thought it would go, it ends up in Mozambique. You get what I'm saying? Let me give you another example, just to help clarify. This is her in Mozambique with some of the children. Some of you, all of you should recognize who this is, right? No, it's not your auntie. It's Mother Teresa. I don't know if any of you knew this, but she actually grew up in Albania, which is nowhere near where she ended up, Kolkata. She's just a faithful woman who loved God and decided to dedicate her life to the Lord. Basically, God, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. And so the initial calling was for her to move to Ireland in her teenage years. She just said, I'll follow you. And in Ireland, after being there for a couple of years, God called her to Kolkata. And she thought, she was initially called to Northern India and then moved down to Kolkata. But she thought, oh, I'll just live in the nunnery there where the nuns are. But then God took her to the deepest heart of where prostitution happens in Kolkata. And it's some of the worst, again, urban poverty that you will ever see on this planet. And God took her there to the point where she changed thousands of lives. Thousands of lives, to the point of not just healing them and giving them medical advice, but then releasing them in their destinies. And then she was so effective in what she did over the years that she was alive that she ended up in front of the UN charging them, telling them, hey, you guys need to do something. Don't you know this sort of urban poverty is going on? Here's this meek nun who goes up in front of everyone. And I was like, oh, she's going to give such a sweet speech to the UN. She's like, what are you doing? You guys need to go out and help the world. There's this world poverty. Oh, sweet Mother Teresa. But she was so convicted and so her heart was burning with this holy anger towards what the enemy has kept a lot of these people in. And then that anger also crosses over to people who are in privileged positions and not doing what God has called them to do. But you see, Mother Teresa, it was with a renewed mind, with her saying, God, whatever it takes with my mind and my heart, my abilities, I'll go wherever you go. She went to Ireland thinking that was it. And then God says, no, Ireland's not it. I want you to go to India. And not that area of India. I want you to go to Kolkata. And not in that area of Kolkata, but the deepest, darkest part of Kolkata. Ends up winning a Nobel Peace Prize for her work. I mean, that's the power of a renewed mind. Most people, when they preach a renewed mind, they'll talk about, if you renew your mind, God will bring the thousands and, you know, oh, Lord. It's like holy lottery, but that's not what it's about. It's about kingdom purposes. When you allow God to renew your mind, you never know where that adventure will take you, but it's awesome. Once you say, God, renew my mind to think like you. Isaiah says that our thoughts are much lower than his. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And it's often at times that we think that the way that we're supposed to, that we live this life out. Think about it, guys. We're about to celebrate Australia Day. And the average Australian will say to you that, you know, to live in Australia and to measure success would be to play sport at a certain level, run a business at a certain level, or even do ministry at a certain level, but not really affect change in the world. So I can work my job, get promotion, and then get to the age of 65, retire, get a gold watch, wait about 10 years and die. What a life. Awesome. Everything is awesome. How many of you know that that's not what God designed our lives to be like? Oh, I've got like half a agreement there. How many of you know that God's got a lot more for us if we will allow him to renew our minds to think the way he thinks? I'm here to tell you today, and I know that, you know, Norm brought it up last week. You know, Pastor Nelly seems to give the opportunity for people to leave church. This is going to be this that sort of church. We're not trying to build an empire that celebrates our own wealth for ourselves or our own success for ourselves. The measure of kingdom success is how you lay your life down so that others can thrive in what God's called them to do. That's what Christ is the measure of success through his cross. And we see that as the ultimate picture of what success looks like as a child in the kingdom. When he lays his life down, he says, this is what it looks like to follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's how we're to renew our mind, guys. And so when you have a vision of what it looks like, it's amazing the places that God will take you. It's amazing the adventure that God allows you to go on. And sure, you may be on the cliff's edge a lot of times. Okay, God, how are you going to pay for this? Because you told me to move or to do this. I don't know. And God always comes through. Let me testify for you. Now, for the last 14 years, guys, I've been in full-time ministry. And there's been so many opportunities to give up. So many opportunities for God not to come through, and he always does. I gave a testimony last week after Norm's great message, and just talking about how God came through for us in the last couple of weeks with a miracle, and how he, you know, just orchestrated, he knows what he's doing. Once you put your life in his hands, it's amazing the adventure he'll allow you to go on, if you'll just trust him and let him renew your mind. See, faith is like a walk. As a kid, you know, as a child, you learn to walk, but there's a moment of imbalance as you're taking a step. So, you know, I've just raised 3 children past the walking stage. But, you know, it's kind of cute at times, kind of scary at times. You know, you have the first child syndrome. Everybody calls it the first child syndrome. All the parents of more than one child know what I'm talking about. First child, you are worried. Are you sure they're allowed to eat that? Are you sure? And like they're so meticulous with the diet, with making sure, make sure he doesn't fall. Oh, no, he fell like a little bit. And by the third child, it's okay. Fall down the stairs already, it's okay. Yeah, you can cut your own hair. Here's the scissors. By the time you're down the road with your children, yeah, whatever. But the point I'm getting at is, like, you know, God takes us as his kids, and he knows, like, even though there are, well, 7 billion of us on the planet, he knows that this walk as a Christian now with the 2 billion Christians that are on this planet is a walk. So initially, it's hard to take those steps. So you make a commitment to Christ, and to take a step of faith, it's kind of like wobbly. Like, you see my kids are pretty hefty, so they got pretty good anchors. Some of your kids need to meet up and get some of that taro down in the calves. But it's just like, you know, there's that moment of imbalance where you take that step and you have to lean forward and put your weight onto the other foot. That moment of imbalance is the scariest part of walking. But how many of you in this room, apart from baby Falani who's up there, but the rest of you know how to walk, right? Yeah, right. He knows how to walk even. So all of us know how to walk. We take it for granted. We're just walking around like this. Because we've forgotten about that moment of imbalance because we've learned how to walk. It just becomes natural. But now it's taking greater steps. Like, how many of you can dunk a basketball? Oh, I don't know. So we got to practice that. Practicing your faith, renewing your mind through the practice of walking things out. Are you with me today? And then before you know it, you'll end up in this place of prominence, and it may be amongst the poor. You know, some of us think, oh man, you know, if I give my life to God, Nelly, I'm going to end up in Africa and I'll marry someone ugly. First of all, God won't waste Africa on you. African. I was actually on the phone this morning with one of my missionary friends in Nigeria, who's a Nigerian, and he was like, "Nelly, pray for us. We are under pressure from the Islamist extremists. Just pray for us for this. We don't want to be the last Nigerian Christians." I said, "You will not be the last. You'll be the first of a greater generation that will rise up, because this is what happened to the early church, and this is what's going to happen with you." And he was encouraged by the prophecy. But I was just telling him, look, you, the West, we in Australia need what you have. We're too comfortable. We're too, you know, we're too busy trying to build ourselves empires rather than his kingdom. And so this is where it's at, guys. This faith walk, this practice. And before you know it, like, each step is actually a step of trusting him. Of just taking that step of faith. Moving out. Okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do here. Oh, okay. And then before you know it, you turn around and you go, wow, look at what he's done. How many of you have been a Christian for more than 6 months? Okay, just think about the last 6 months. Think about, for those of you who have been Christian for a year and put your trust in God for a year, think about where you were a year ago. Okay, here's one for you. Think about where you were 5 years ago. Even before you were a Christian. And look at where you are now. Now think about 10 years ago. Did you think 10 years ago that you would be sitting in this room, in the job that you have, blessed with the situation that you have? Because see, when we don't take the opportunity to testify and think about the walk that God has given us and allow him to renew our mind to the way that he wants us to walk, the tendency is to think, well, it's about the immediate and how come God hasn't come through. That's why when David approached the giant, he said, "I come at you after defeating a lion and a bear." So he had to remember, okay, I'm pretty scared looking at you, but I remember the God of the lion. I remember the God of the bear. And I remember the God there will be the God here, and you're going down. So it's that sort of memory. If you would just allow God to renew your mind. Let's get back to the scripture here. Romans, it's actually Acts 26. Sorry, I got the scripture wrong. Acts 26 is when Paul, the author of the Roman scripture that we just read, he writes. He's actually standing in front of King Agrippa. And he's testifying about what Christ did for him. Now, for those of you who don't know who Paul is, Paul was actually, before he became Paul, he was called Saul, and he was actually a killer. He would persecute Christians. he was actually on his way down Damascus after witnessing the killing of one of the loyal disciples, Stephen. He was about to go and get ready to kill some more Christians. And he was on the road to Damascus when this light hit him. And here's what he says. I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul. See, you only know that you should say a name twice if they don't know or recognize your voice. See, if you know their voice, you'll only say their name once. But the reason for the repetition, Saul, Saul, Solly, Saul. Psalm 1, Saul, Hainako in the Filipino. Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, I wanted to highlight this part of the verse. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. The goads are basically these sticks with a pointy end. It might be like a nail at the end of the stick that points inward. And what you would use the goad for is you'd use it as a guiding tool to just help the animal, whether it's a donkey or a horse, to stay on track. Because if it started to veer off, you'd just tap it a little bit. You're not, you know, not in an anti-animal sort of way, but, you know, just a little tappy-tappy. Just to keep it on the path. Just to keep it on the track. And what the Lord was saying here is, Saul, you're kicking against the goads. I've been tapping on you to stay on track because I have a place that if you renew your mind, I want to take you to. But you just keep kicking against the goads. Like, I don't want, stop guiding me down that way. Any of you been in a sinful situation? Oh, maybe not you. Maybe you have a friend. Okay. You've been in a sinful situation, and then the voice of the Lord comes. Maybe it's not even the voice of the Lord. It's the voice of your mother or somebody. I better be careful. My mother's here. She's not in here, but she's here. You might tell her, and then I'll get a fussy. She can still. But you hear the voice of somebody saying, hey, is that what you should be doing?
Aren't you a Christian?
And you know, you're trying to talk to some girl. Hey, baby. And your voice is usually, hi, how's it going?
Hey, baby.
Let's change the alphabet and move you and I closer. Hey, you dropped something. Conversation, let's pick it up right here. You know, just... You're trying to drop all these terrible lines. And the Holy Spirit's just like, what are you doing? Doing. Oh, Mom. I mean, God. Those are the goads. Those sort of measures where the Holy Spirit kind of interrupts you. And even as a Christian, sometimes you get tempted to go back to your old lifestyle. You used to be addicted to certain things. It's like the analogy of when you are, let's say you finished work and you're hungry and you're on your way home and you call your wife and your wife or your husband, if your husband can cook. Go on, woman of God, believe. That's why you come to prayer meeting on Valentine's Day, I'm just saying. and you call and they say, oh, baby, I've prepared your favorite dish. When you get home, it's there for you. I've prepared all your favorites. Then you start listing it and your mouth starts watering. Oh my gosh, it's going to be the bomb. So you start driving home and then you see the McDonald's drive-thru, but you are hungry. You know, like the country, you're not just hungry, you're hungry. You know, that's really hungry. And so you pull into the drive-thru and you say, oh, I'll just have a little snack because, you know, just to kind of, you know. Little tappy-tappy, just try to you know, fill a gap or two. So you're like, can I get just a nuggets meal? How many nuggets were there? Oh, just 20. Upsize? Yeah, what do you think? You know, you get, long story short, you get home and your wife or your husband has laid out the Psalm 23 table in the presence of your enemies. Your cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. It's all out there on the spread. But you are full of junk food and you are sitting there and you are snacking politely on that food, on that spread that has been prepared before you. Why? It's because you're full of junk. And so when you hear something like this, when you hear about what God can do for you in the feast that is his destiny and his purpose, he lays it out before us, his children. We kind of snack politely, oh, I will give in the offering because it's the right thing to do. But my desire is still at McDonald's. Like the quick, that's why they call it fast food, because it's a fast way to fulfillment. Don't look at it. Don't look. Focus on what God is doing here and just the purpose and the meaning behind what he's doing here. Because he's laying out this destiny before you. And I want to encourage those of you from any culture here. Okay, because there are even cultural barriers that will say you will minister to one group type of people or one group of people or one generation of people. When God is saying, no, I'm going to break down cultural barriers for you. I'm going to break down generational barriers for you. I'm going to break down even some of the mentality that you have if you will let me, the great God, renew your mind. He prepares this feast before you. And the best that we can come up with is retire at 65, get a gold watch, and die. That's my life. I'm good. Really? That's the life that you have? That's the life that you desire? Quick fixes? Well, my young people here, I'm here to tell you guys, you know, take advantage. Don't make some of the mistakes that other generations have. You have an opportunity with the young life that you have. I mean, seize this opportunity. Hear this now. Because you have like 20, 25 years on me if you're a young person. I'm going to turn 40 soon. Oh my gosh, that scares me. 40, yeah. 40, yeah, you know? Life begins at 40. No, that's when you're at the top of the hill and it's just looking down. Woo-hoo-hoo. When you get to the age of 40, will you be able to turn around, like Pastor Ken always says, and say, I wish I had, or I'm glad I did? A renewed mind will determine how you spend your days. If you can wake up every morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will not spend my time or waste my time in meaningless relationships with somebody that won't help me to discover the purposes and the plans that God has for me. I won't waste my time because life is too short. Whatever that thing is that takes you off course, that causes you to kick against the goads, that thing is an idol. That's called idolatry because it takes you off the course that God has for you. Anything that tries to take the place of God where only God can fulfill you is an idol. And that idol can be a thing, it can be a person as well. Oh, but, you know, she said she was a Christian. I mean, she watched like a quarter of Fireproof. She saw my purple book and thought, well, that's a nice color. Looks like Barney, so I think she's a Christian. You know? Come on, is that the level of spirituality that we're going to walk at? Like Norm was saying last week, if we're wanting excellence in every other area, but when walking with God, we take the bare minimum. A renewed mind will jump at the chance to run with what God has for us. And so here we are at the start of 2015. Do you realize that this month is almost finished? We are almost 1/12 of the way through this year. And we can look back and say, oh, how's it going? What have we done? What have we seen happen? The way that we will see things happen is with a renewed mind. You with me today? Smile like you love me because I need some encouragement. And I know this is not necessarily the message or the word that was kind of like, amen, Pastor Nelly, yeah, yeah. I know it's sinking in there somewhere, but, you know, I'll just let the Holy Spirit do what he needs to do. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. God has a purpose. Stop kicking against the goads, my friends. Stop kicking against the things that God has purposely allowed in your life. See, as a follower of Christ, it's just like a bowling alley. You have the bumpers now. You can't go guttable. So God puts the bumpers up. But it's up to you if you strike or you hit kind of you flank one of the side pins. I don't know about you, but I want to hit a strike every time. But it's going to take a leading from God. I shouldn't have to hit I shouldn't be like one of those bowlers that are like, you know, not my kids. My kids are awesome at bowling. Maybe your kids, you know, then they bowl. It's like donk, 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 and then one. You know, I don't want to be that sort of person spiritually. Donk, 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 then one. No, we should be strike, double strike, turkey, you know, just hitting it all the time. Woohoo! Don't you want to live like that? That's the way God designed our lives to be lived. Don't settle for these spiritual bumper sort of lives. We're closing now. Let me just give you this phrase. Everybody say this. Radical transformation always starts from a renewed mind. So let's look at this scripture again. I'm just going to jump to verses 2 and 3 of chapter 12 of Romans, just so that we can kind of close this out. It says here, do not be conformed to this world. What does conform mean? The world has a certain standard, everybody. The world has a certain way of doing things. To be conformed means that you conform, you line up with how the world operates. The world prioritizes other things. The world prioritizes image, finance, career advancement, popularity. That's the priority of this world. And so when opinions vary or come away from Scripture, you're at a point of choice as a follower of Christ. When you read in the Bible that God has set a certain standard and it does not line up with your standards, then what do you choose? Do you choose to keep your standards as the primary priority? Namely, to keep political correctness or popularity amongst your peers? Or do you say, no, this is what God says, and I will follow what God says because I'm allowing him to renew my mind according to his word and his will? When you understand or own an appliance, I don't know about you, but I'm a typical male. I'll figure it out how to use it myself. You know, oh, good iPhone. I'd get the instructions, throw it away, and try to figure it out myself. But the best way to maximize the use of it is to actually go to the manual and figure out how to use it by the manual, which was written by the designer or the designing company. We have our manual. We have our designer whom we can come into direct relationship with. And so when things don't line up, we shouldn't go, oh, well, you know, if I take this popular opinion over what the Bible says, I may lose some Facebook friends. So I'm not sure if I should, do that because, you know, I've only got 45 Facebook friends and they're all my cousins. So if I start standing up for righteousness, I may lose half of them. Really? Then who's going to be the salt and the light in that situation? Who's going to stand up for righteousness? Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Optimus Prime style. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you allow God to take a hold of your life, people won't even recognize how awesome. You know, like they'll come around you and see an inner beauty like never before. After having not seen you for 2 years and then they see you, you're a completely different person. I don't know about you, but like for those of you who haven't seen some of your friends before Christ came and radically changed your life, and then they see you now, they're like, whoa, what's up with you, man? You changed. Something inside you just wants to say, and you haven't. Which, that's pride, you know, so you have to repent and say, no, Lord, humble. be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only transformation that can happen that has an eternal consequence comes by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? We take the word of God and we allow it to form new paths in our mind. Basically, when we make it, we have to make a decision in our minds. When we make a decision in our minds, there's a chemical reaction that happens in our brain cells that causes our bodily functions to act a certain way. For instance, there have been counselors, people that have counseled outside of an addiction to pornography, for instance, and where they would react to pornography or pornographic thoughts. And so there are certain brain waves that would happen that would cause them to act a certain way upon visualizing or seeing things that way. But now that they are Christians, they have chosen to renew their minds. So they've taken the word of God, and even through Christian counseling, have talked through forming new pathways so that they react and respond a different way, a redeemed way, because it is possible for Christ to renew your mind. Your desires are evoked by what you give your attention to. So if you give your attention to certain things, you that'll be your desire. Like junk food in the spirit. And you know, it's stuff that you'd sit there and go, well, Pastor Nelly, it's not necessarily wrong. It's not, you know, we can sit here and I'm not going to judge anybody that watches this or listens to this. But if, let me tell you, if you keep consuming that, it becomes like junk food for your spirit. So when God wants to renew your mind, it's like vegetables to a six-year-old. I know it's good for me. Mommy tells me it's good for me. Don't even try it with the airplane. I'm too old. No, block. Don't even try that. I don't want it. I know what's good for me. And that's the way it is with the Spirit. Oh, come, let's read the Word. Oh, okay. Awesome. Excited about it. Celery. Carrots. Quinoa. Where did that come from? It's tree bark. I don't know what it is, man. Little tadpole looking things. Oh, man. It looks good for me. And all the skinny people are eating that. But, you know, it doesn't really have the same effect as French fries. It's the way it is in the spirit. A lot of us don't want to approach the word of God, don't have the desire. Change your desires, but just forcing yourself to consume the word and get yourself around the word of God to the point where you look at the old stuff you used to eat and you're like one of those valley girls from the LA when they see something disgusting, they go like, ew. That's the way it should be in our approach towards that, which is sinful. We should look at it and go, ew, I don't want to go back towards that. No turning back. I'm moving forward. That stuff is disgusting to me. Can you honestly say that your past life is disgusting to you? Because real talk, some of us is like, well, you know, it's okay if I, you know, little bit of partake of communion. And you know it's going to evoke certain desires that you had, or and it's just going to lead you down that path. It's the renewal of your mind that will cause that transformation. You with me today? One of the number one questions I get asked is, how do I know the will of God for my life? How do you know the will of God for your life? It's through renewing your mind. It says it right here. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what that is the will of God. What is good, acceptable, and perfect. Okay, His will is always good, it's always acceptable, always perfect. But you know it by renewing your mind. You will never know the will of God for your life if you're still fooling around with the old stuff. I don't know what the will of God is for my life and who He wants me to marry. So I'm just going to go keep going down to the club and trying to look for Mr. Right now. And idol. It's an idol because you're expecting that to fulfill you in a way that only Christ can. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to close with these last couple of thoughts. It's by His grace, guys. This is what propels us towards growth, towards a desire for the things of God, is understanding the price that he has paid to empower us to overcome sin in the grave. It's by his grace. It's by his grace you can renew your mind, not by your own self-will. When you understand how much he loves you, how much he was willing to pour his life out for you, just so that you could have this victorious life. It's by his grace. You don't deserve it, but he empowers you to do it. And so by his grace that is given to you, everyone among you should not think of himself more highly than he ought. That's one of two things right here. Number one, it's in the way of thinking of yourself more in a prideful way. Like, oh, well, I've been a Christian for 4 years, so I'm pretty awesome. No. Don't position yourself any higher than you. Actually, like I've said before, the higher and more mature you go in Christ, the more humble you become. The more you grow in him, the more you realize you need his grace. I remember even as a young follower of Christ, I was the most legalistic, religious Christian. So judgmental. Oh, so you go to that movie, you do that. Oh, well, I have been in the church for this long. So ugly. Because this was me. I thought of myself more highly than I ought. When you really do know Christ, the way Christ was, he left heaven where he was exalted and came to earth and hung out with the broken, humbling himself to the ultimate level. Thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. It's also taking your opinions and your lofty thoughts and exalting them higher than the ways that God has for you. His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher than yours. So when you come across those decisions where really there is no need for debate, I'm here to encourage you to say, you know what? The destiny that God has for me is far greater than that which lies in instant gratification. So I'm refusing to take that McDonald's drive-through Christianity. I'm actually going to sustain myself because I know that this life that God has for me is much greater than a gold watch and dying and retirement after retirement, you know? But to think with sober judgment, and this is going to be our prayer point tonight as I invite you to stand as we close, is that we would think with sober judgment today. That God, you know, God describes himself in the book of Psalms as the lifter of our heads. And as we lift our heads, we begin to see the horizon of the destiny that God has for us. He has called every single one in here to do great things for his glory, to impact the lives of many out there that don't know him yet. And you all have spheres of influence that I don't have. You all have areas that God has called you to be effective that I am not. God has gifted you. God has wired you in a certain way to be influential. You know, I mentioned a few of the people that are here from different nations. You know, we've got visitors here from Auckland. We've got people that are moving here. We've got people that have been established here. We're all in different life stages. We're all at different ages. We all come from different cultures. It's within those spheres of influence that God is most glorified when we say, Lord, renew my mind. Take it over, God. I'm in for this adventure. I know that you're a good God. Like C.S. Lewis says, he's a good God, but he's not a safe God. If you're up for it, if you're up for this adventure of living, not just this year, and this is why we started this year off with this series, is just for us to understand that as I step out of my comfort zone, like Norm said last week, where do you live? I'm stepping out of where I used to live, my comfort zone, and I'm stepping into the hands of the everlasting Father. God, whatever you have for me this year, I'm going full on. I'm going hard out. Renew my mind. We're going for it this year. I'm taking this bull by the horns. We're going to do big things for your glory, God, where you are made famous. Before, it used to be about me being famous, but God, this year, it's about you being famous. Before, it used to be about my prosperity, but now it's about you, and you are Jehovah Jireh. And I know that outside of this comfort zone and in this zone where you are Lord, you're going to take care of my every need. I don't even have to worry. I just want to be a tool in your hand that you would use for your glorification. That's what it's going to take. A renewed mind will change the world. A renewed mind just hops and leaps into the adventure that lies before them. And you, every single one of you, including myself, is at a point of choice tonight. Will you stay in that comfort zone? And there's no condemnation for those who will stay there. You're in Christ. But I'm here to tell you and encourage you that there is an adventure when you get out of the boat. Call me out upon the water. Don't sing that song. You know, next time we sing that song, don't sing it if you're not serious. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. No more borders. Let me walk upon the water. God, that's our prayer tonight. With sober judgment, God. Not with judgment according to the world, but with sober mind that is submitted to your renewal. Tonight, we want to give our lives wholeheartedly to you and the adventure that you call us upon. Lord, life is too short and we only have this one. We might as well make it eternal and make it for your glorification. And so it's on this day, Lord God, this wonderful January Sunday, we have this opportunity to say, God, whatever it takes, make it happen. Lord, have your way in this place. Guys, we won't prolong this, but if you're serious about this, this front area is an altar. I want to give you the opportunity to come and with prophetic significance, just come and just stand here and we'll pray for one another just to declare, God, you've got my all. I'm stepping out on this adventure. If that's you today, just come out of where you're sitting and just, or where you're standing and come stand, step forward here. Let's just do this as a church. We won't prolong this, so if that's you, just come. We need to shut the service down. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to just submit our lives and our hearts for your glory. No turning back, Lord. This decision is a decision on our own. We don't want to play games anymore. We don't want to live in that place of human safety. We know that perfect safety is found in the arms of an eternal Savior. And so, God, it's with sober judgment we step forward today. Not my will be done, not our will be done, but your will be done in my life, on earth, as it is in heaven. We submit our ways, we submit our lives, we submit our hearts for your glory. Have your way. And we thank you in advance that this year is going to be the greatest adventure that we have ever seen. Adventure comes when we put our lives at risk. There will be times that we're like, okay, God, you said that you were going to come through, but we're up for it because you will come through. You are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the one who began the good work in us, and you will be faithful to complete it. So we fix our eyes today on the author and the finisher, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Lord, we're just so excited to follow you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Just take about 30 seconds, and whatever areas or whatever prayer that God lays on your heart, you just pray it out. And those of you who are standing back there, if you can just pray for about 30 seconds for these ones that have come forward, and then we'll close the service. Just before we go today, I want to encourage all of you who've taken that step forward, and I really want to commend you for doing that. But don't let it end here. I highly encourage you, if you haven't already started the Purple Book, get a Purple Book, build a solid foundation for what God wants to do radically today. But when you go back to your seat, take a phone or take a piece of paper, and all of you back there can see who these people are, so that make sure you don't interrupt them while they're doing this. But I really sense that the Holy Spirit was saying certain things to you that he wants you to action or wants you to just record today so that it's marked down, and the The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2 to write down the revelation so that a herald may run with it. And so what you want to do as you go back is to write down what the Holy Spirit is showing you. And then I'd highly encourage you to get with somebody, maybe a mentor or somebody who's discipling you, and just say, you know what, bro, sis, can you hold me accountable? I'm happy to, Tina and I are happy to help serve you in whatever way we can. But, you know, you've got each other. We're disciple-making disciples, man. And, you know, and let's really make it happen. I don't want this to be this Sunday and then next week, I am sorry, you know, come up the front again, same sin, same stuff. Come on, by June we should be way progressive, right? I just think about my good friend Raywin and Siosi, and they're about to start this 8-week challenge. This is an 8-week challenge for us in the spirit, you know, so let's do this, right? Let's be a church that progresses and grows in everything that God has for us. Amen? For those of you who didn't respond and come forward, I know you're probably already on your way, or you're contemplating. If you need prayer also, we'd love to pray with you. Stay up here if you do need prayer for anything in particular. We can pray for one another, or I'll pray for you. But God bless you. You're all dismissed. Have a great Sunday in Australia Day. There's fireworks, I think, happening on the river later on at 7:30. You know, our church is sponsoring them, not really. Brisbane City Council is, but we kind of have church close to it. So, you know, feel free to hang out, fellowship. Some of us will be going for dinner afterwards. You're welcome to join. But God bless you. You're all dismissed. Have a great Sunday. Peace.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.